The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
Hello and welcome to the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan. This week, Holyrood's Energy Minister on the subsea industry's future. Donald Trump returns to the North East with wind farms on his mind, and a report claims North Sea oil and gas would run out in 5 years if we stopped imports. But first, a subsea specialist to take delivery of 5 new remotely operated vehicles to add to their existing fleet. Rovop say they're spending £17 million on the equipment, which includes 2 UHD-3s, the most advanced heavy-duty vehicles in the market. They're all being supplied by FMC Technologies, with the first being delivered as soon as this week. A guide was this week launched on how to protect Scotland's wildlife from wind farms. The Scottish Government and organisations such as RSPB Scotland have put together the package following a series of studies on the issue. It's looking at how habitats can be effectively managed at the same time as renewable development increases. Scotland's Energy Minister says the North Sea's subsea industry has a bright future ahead of it. Fergus Ewing spoke to North Sound after addressing delegates at an event in Aberdeen this week. Having just returned from the Offshore Technology Conference in Houston, Mr Ewing says the sector is a world leader.
Well, subsea in Scotland and the UK is an enormous success story. And indeed, I'm just back from the OTC in Houston, and the reputation that the subsea sector enjoys in the world's oil capital is immense for engineering prowess, honesty, probity, getting the job done. Really, Scotland is the go-to place for subsea in the world. And in the Scottish Government, we want that to continue to be the case for decades to come.
You obviously just come back from OTC, as you said. Were there any concerns raised during that event about the upcoming independence referendum?
None whatsoever, actually. One or two of the executives of major companies I met talked about Ukraine, talked about unconventional gas. There was absolutely no concern whatsoever about independence. I mean, you know, if you're running an international oil and gas company, you're looking at Scotland, you're seeing excellence, probity, determination, honesty. And sadly, you know, these aren't things that you can take for granted in other countries in the world, far less the safety of staff. So Scotland is seen as a safe haven, a place of excellence. There was no concerns whatsoever about independence. And indeed, you know, the message that I've been expounding over the last 3 years of my period as Minister for Energy, of the need for fiscal stability and predictability, of a long-term approach, not chops and changes and tax hikes out of the blue, but a real compact with industry, this was music to their ears.
In terms of specifically the subsea industry, what concerns are there going forward about making sure that Scotland maintains that position?
Well, obviously, in the North Sea and west of Shetland, the industry is concerned about production costs rising, wage inflation, difficulties in maintaining ageing assets and infrastructure, and a relative lack of exploration and appraisal. Many of these challenges industry are overcoming. The Scottish Government is working closely on the skills issue, for example, with Oil and Gas UK and Apeato and others, and we're doing a lot of things there. But we don't have the powers over tax. And, you know, this bareboat charter is causing real damage in the sector. It's the latest tax shock from the UK, and it's not really doing any good. And, indeed, were one project to be pulled or even not go ahead, that would more than outweigh the total expected revenue from the bareboat charter. So I've expressed these concerns to Michael Fallon at Houston, actually, and made suggestions about what could be done in the short term to address them, and I hope the UK listens. But, you know, we have an opportunity to take these matters into our own hands, like Norway has done with great success, and a country now that, according to the UK, has not got broad enough shoulders, has, with its narrow shoulders, managed to amass an oil fund of £500 billion when the UK's fund is zero.
Oil and Gas UK says there's been an increase in the offshore workforce. A demographic study says compared with 2012, there's been an 8.6% rise in the total number of people travelling offshore. Workers in the 24 to 29 age group have also recorded the highest percentage growth. The man who led the public inquiry into the Piper Alpha disasters this week opened a new base for an energy firm in Aberdeen. Lord Cullen joined bosses at Atkins' new offices in the city centre. It follows the firm's acquisition of Poirée in 2011 and will see more than 140 staff based on the new site. The company is a major provider of design and engineering for the oil and gas and renewable sectors. A Hungarian oil and gas firm has made its official entrance into the North Sea this week. MOL Group sealed a deal with Wintershall to acquire 14 licences for offshore assets for the area. Its chief executive was in Aberdeen to mark the company's new presence here. Donald Trump's touched down in Aberdeen. He arrived this week on his private jet after visiting Turnberry in Ayrshire for the first time since he bought it. The US tycoon's reaffirming opposition to a planned wind farm near his many estate resorts, telling North Sound the rejection of the project's substation at Black Dog was a great victory. He also had this message for the people behind the proposed European offshore wind deployment centre.
Well, that's up to them. That's up to them. I don't think it's going to be built. I don't think they can afford it. I don't think people are going to be willing to lose the kind of money they're going to lose if they build it. 25 to 50 million pounds a year for an experimental site. And by the way, remember this. There are nine of them, and every one is different. It's not even the same. Each one is made by a different company. So they're all different colors, shapes, and sizes. You think that's going to look good? It is going to look like a bad version of Disneyland. I never give up. I wrote a book called Never Give Up. I don't give up. And we're winning. We're winning. Vattenfall is gone, in my opinion. Vattenfall is gone. I mean, they don't even want to pay legal fees now. They want somebody else to pick up their legal fees because they have no intention of going forward. They were gone 2 years ago, and you know it, and everybody else knows it. And then they said, look, don't say you're gone. Say you're going to sell your interest. Well, what company is stupid enough to buy an interest, or even if you get it for free, to lose 25 to 50 million pounds a year? It's a loser. But they have to say it's gone. And when it's gone, when it's officially dead, we will continue with our major investment. And it's been really good. And a lot of you, and some of you, were responsible for writing the story. And David knows very well. But the effect on Aberdeen of what I've done has been tremendous. They call it the Trump effect or the Trump factor.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
A Scottish oil and gas firm this week struck a loan deal to help them develop two fields in the North Sea. Cairn Energy are loaning £343 million from BNP Paribas of France for the Catcher and Kraken areas. A development plan for the former is awaiting government approval, whilst oil from the latter is expected in 2017. It's claimed we'd run out of North Sea oil in just 5 years if we stopped all imports tomorrow. Current estimates from the industry suggest we'll still be drilling after 2050. But the Global Sustainability Institute says if the UK was forced to rely on the North Sea alone, we'd soon run dry. Dr. Alan Jones is the man behind the study.
What we're trying to highlight is basically the number of barrels of oil left, the amount of gas that's left, and if we were had to be completely energy secure, so totally self-reliant, how many years of supply we'd have based on our current consumption. So it really is trying to understand the sort of geopolitics, the energy security, and get governments to really engage on a real strategy for resource management going forward. So in the North Sea, basically we have around 5 years worth of oil left on current UK consumption. So that's if we stopped all imports and were just completely self-reliant. So the question is really how we manage that going forward, who exploits it, how quickly we manage our own reserves, who we actually sell it to, can we maximise the value of that resource? So it really is a sort of a bigger strategic question around the value of the resource we have, because it is in short supply, not just in the UK but globally. What we do with that value, who has it, can we raise the capital so that we can afford to buy resources in the future once we don't have it ourselves. It's been surprising how much of a surprise it is. This is based on US government data and BP statistics. So they're annually produced, they're publicly available. What we've done is bring them together and looked at energy security in particular and what that might mean for political stability going forward, in particular in countries elsewhere in the world. So it shouldn't be a surprise, but just doing the simple calculation of, OK, if we really went fully down energy secure and stopped importing totally, what would we have? Where would we be? And I don't know if anyone's done that calculation before, because that does seem to be a surprise. This is based on our current consumption. So actually, if we were in that situation where we couldn't import for any particular reason, we'd actually have to then increase our investment into North Sea oil to be able to extract it more rapidly to meet our demand, or we'd have to invest more significantly in energy efficiency or alternatives to be able to manage a sort of slower transition so we can actually extract it at the rate we're currently extracting.
Businessman Sir Ian Wood recently conducted a review into the energy sector.
I'd like to think one of the things that the review has done, with the maximising economic recovery being the headline, is people are now focused on that. So it's not just each of the operators working out what they can do to best suit themselves. It's really all about collaboration.
We could be on the brink of a new gas drought in Ukraine. Russian state-owned firm Gazprom threatened to stop supplies to Kiev if it doesn't pay up from gas from next month. Ukraine said it's willing to transfer $4 billion for deliveries by the end of May to keep it flowing. And rounding off the week, Scotland's youth employment ministers attended a skills summit in Aberdeen. The event's one of a number looking to address a skill shortage in the industry. Angela Constance, MSP, spoke to my colleague Joe Odber.
I'm in Aberdeen today to speak at the SCDI summit, and this is a precursor to the Scottish Apprenticeship Week, which is a very important celebration of the benefits to business and recruiting a young person and to recruiting apprentices.
Now here in Aberdeen, you know, it's a particular, we've got the oil and gas industry up here, which is very important. So how much of that is playing into what you're talking about today?
Well, the oil and gas sector and energy as a whole is, of course, very important to the Scottish economy. And it's very important that government works together with business to ensure that our young people are aware of the fantastic opportunities in the energy sector, and that we're also preparing young people for the world of work and to take up the job opportunities that exist in oil and gas in particular. And it's very important that the world of work and the world of education work together to ensure that we are shaping the skills of the next generation.
And how important is it that Sir Ian Wood's recommendations for the industry are taken forward, not just for the industry itself, but for young people in Scotland?
Well, Sir Ian Wood is leading a very important piece of work called the Commission for Developing Scotland's Young Workforce, and that's very much about providing a blueprint for the future of vocational education and training in Scotland. And that's important because as we look around Europe, we see that the countries with the lowest levels of youth unemployment are actually the countries that have a vocational education and training system that is highly regarded by employers, and it's also a training and education system that employers are involved in and that they're involved in shaping.
Don't forget, for all the latest news from the energy sector, tune into our special North Sound Energy Bulletins each weekday morning during the North Sound 1 and 2 breakfast shows. But that's it for this week. This has been the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.